Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
It's my check. It's my check. The podcast by Mike Myers. And we're clear.
Hello, horny babies. Hello, Waniacs. Welcome to a very special episode of Mike Check, the only podcast in known history where two comedians go through the entire works of, I don't need to tell you, Canadian funny man Mike Myers, just to check if it's still shagadelic. My name, as if I need to tell you that either, is Rove McManus, and for today's episode we're going to go and try and answer the question that has hung over all 52 episodes of this podcast: which character is the funniest character, Wayne or Austin? Joining me today to help step through this debate are your two hosts and mic historians, Cameron and Alexi. Gentlemen, thank you for joining me.
Hello, thank you so much, Ro.
This is indeed a pleasure to have you both here. Alexi, thank you to the two of you for coming into my shag basement.
Oh, well.
So it's kind of, it's like Wayne's basement, but it's made out to look like Austin Powers. Yep.
That's actually perfect.
Yeah, I've walked into my own heart, it would feel.
Exactly. We're currently on a rotating bed.
Yep. And I'm getting very motion sick.
Yes,
and
I am eating too many M&Ms. My puke will be green and red and blue.
It's going to be very shagadelic.
So, gentlemen, let me ask you at this very early stage, how horny are you feeling right now?
Today, I would say I am about a Shrek.
You're sitting in a Shrek.
About a Shrek, which is not an Alexander Payne movie about Shrek.
Okay, all right. That was a long bow you just drew there.
Yes, like, and connecting. I'm glad that it struck a huge target and got a humongous gag.
It got a huge laugh out there in the Mike Check Republic. You, of course, merged Shrek and About Schmidt.
Very
clever.
But well, Shrek is, as has been debated before on this very program, he's a very horny character anyway. He's very sexually frustrated.
He is.
Especially in Shrek 2.
Oh, extremely sexually frustrated.
Horny. All he wants to do is get his end away, but unfortunately he has to go on another adventure with Donkey.
He's got too many responsibilities.
Yeah.
And he's like, I just need to freaking blow my goo right now.
And the weird part of it is, and look, you may have discussed this at the time anyway, I'm trying to remember, but we open with the honeymoon, right? We've been on the honeymoon.
Yeah.
Shrek and Fiona, they've had the honeymoon. And then he tries to have sex with her?
Yes.
Like the whole time he was away, there was no opportunity.
I mean,
when
you know
they're lying
like
on the
when
beach.
When you're on your honeymoon, you have so many activities to do.
Right, and they did. They had a lot going.
You've got a lot of activities. You've got to write the thank you notes for everyone that came to your wedding, everyone at Far Far Away.
You two are honeymoon experts, obviously. I'm still waiting for mine to happen, and God, I pray it finally does.
Oh.
And at the end of it all, I can finally blow my little Shrek goo.
You're gonna, it's an absolute blast. You're gonna love it.
And
I've heard good things.
And in that, in the time between you meeting that perfect someone who could fulfill that role, Alexi, let me just say, if you ever make friends with a donkey, sever those ties.
That donkey's a real pain in the ass.
Before you make those vows.
I guess that's true.
You will not get your end wet.
No.
Yeah.
Fact.
Donkey's a massive cock
Mike
block.
Fact.
Mike fact. It's a famous cock block.
Famous
making
cock block.
Friends with a donkey. They're not called an ass for any other reason.
That's true. So, Cam, how horny are you feeling?
I reckon
today?
I'm sitting at about a Scottish dad from So I Married an Axe Murderer.
Oh, okay.
I'm a bit cranky today.
Mr. McKenzie.
I was thinking,
Mr. McKenzie.
I was feeling that myself today. I feel like, if you want my body and you think I'm sexy, that's exactly where I was sitting right now too.
Now, I honestly thought that Mike was in the room with us for a moment.
I feel like crying myself to sleep on my huge pillow.
I feel like I should ask you now, how much of a Mike Myers fan or non-fan are you?
You're throwing out some pretty deep cuts already.
Look, I am a big fan of Mike's. I was not aware of Wayne's World. I will say that, as in the character, the SNL sketch.
Mm-hmm.
I hadn't seen a lot of SNL. I don't think it was really even airing here at the time.
No.
So you kind of hear about things secondhand. And saw Wayne's World, and so I had no idea of the running gags. I had no idea of their characters or the in-jokes or any of that stuff. I don't think I even knew it was an SNL sketch.
I probably didn't.
But know. I just saw a movie that just blew my mind.
Yes.
Even just the product placement jokes and all that sort of stuff, which for its time was incredible, and playing with subtitle jokes and all that sort of thing.
Yeah.
I can't remember another comedy movie really owning that stuff. And now it sort of seems like, well, everyone's sort of done it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So yes, a huge fan of Mike's. Like many incredible comedic actors, I have not been as much of a fan of his dramatic work. But, and look, I don't know what happened with the Love Guru. I really do not.
We do, unfortunately.
And I had to talk to him about that movie.
So you had to interview.
That is never an easy thing to do.
Had you watched the film before you?
Yes, you always do. You always have to watch the movie. There is no talking to anyone and not seeing the movie.
Yeah.
You will get in big trouble.
So you got sent a screener, presumably?
No, I went to, they put on a screening for you. The movie people will have the film company. They will have a little theaterette.
Wow.
And you go and
a mini movie theater.
Other media personalities.
There is sometimes other media people. Sometimes there's not. Sometimes, you know, depending on if you're the only person who's talking to them, it might just be you.
Were you in the cinema by yourself watching The Love Guru?
Yes.
Really?
No, I'm not going to name.
Oh my
There was another instance. I won't name the movie.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But there was another instance where I was watching a movie and I was by myself.
Oh gosh.
And it was so dull that I decided to go through my then, this is how far back we're going, standard digital camera, no phone, just a digital camera, and just delete things I didn't want.
Just admin.
I was just so bored.
Rearranging your life.
You're at the point of going, I'm not going to give away the ending. I don't really need to see the end.
Yeah.
Next thing I know, my phone rings.
Yeah.
And it's someone from our office who said, are you taking photos during the movie? I said, no, I'm not. And they said, well, the projectionist has called the film company
he's filming
during the movie. He's taking photos, which is obviously a breach of copyright in a world of other secrecy and what have you. And I said, no. And they said, well, then what's happening? I said, I'm so bored. I'm taking photos. I'm deleting photos off my camera. So anyway, The Love Guru was not that bad, although I think I was by myself.
That's actually one of the best
reviews. Sadly, very
the Love
derivative.
Guru received.
Was not that bad. Look, although I was by myself.
I wasn't. It wasn't so bad that I felt the need to delete photos off my camera.
No. But I wish I could delete the memory of having watched The Love Guru. It's a rough movie to get through.
You just have to watch it a few times. Then you will build Stockholm syndrome to it, like I have.
Sure.
Where I really, to the point now, I'll just chuck it on. Chuck it on in the background. Get my daily life done, and it just kind of motivates me to just be a better Mike out there.
I just feel like the Mariska Hargitay joke is great until Mariska Hargitay turns up. Because otherwise it just seems like it's a stupid catchphrase he has.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, but then it's like, oh no, there she is. And the fact that he then references her to her face, you go, well, you've just popped your own balloon.
His mantra in the movie, and within 10 minutes we're seeing the real Mariska Hargitay.
She should have been there at the end, if anything, or post-credits little gag.
Yeah.
Yes.
I came up with a great future. I punched up the joke really well when we did a live episode about this. I said that when he saw the real Mariska Hargitay, he should have gotten a little stiff. You know how when he got a little stiffy, it made a little bong noise? It should have gone bong bong, like the Law and Order thing. Now that's funny stuff.
See, that's good shit.
That's good shit.
That's the kind of shit I would have pitched to Mike.
That's why we got to get to Mike Myers.
Yeah.
So we can go, hey, we can fix Love Guru. Can we reboot Love Guru?
Have you heard anything at all from anyone in Camp Myers that would suggest they have any idea that this even exists?
No, we suspect that he knows due to the career moves he's made in the wake of this podcast existing.
Well, because we believe that we are kind of...
You know he's gone. This is the equivalent of Googling yourself.
Yeah, it would have to come up at some point.
Yes.
He's got to have some intern there going, oh, we've got some young, beautiful boys in Australia doing God's work, trying to resurrect your career. And I think that we have done a point. He's making a movie with our very own Margot Robbie. That's going to be coming out at some point.
Yep.
So
the Gong Show came about as a result of us wishing he was on our screens again, and
that's
we got
right.
what we wished for, but
that's
it was
right.
a veritable monkey's paw.
Yes.
Now, I don't know where you guys stand on this, but how do you feel about his very white hair nowadays?
I love it.
Yep.
Yeah, I'm all a big Steve Martin guy. So, you know, okay. if you can, and Ted Danson, two men with big white hair.
Okay, well, Steve's always had...
That's true.
We got
always
used
been
to
the,
that.
He got used yeah. to it. A very grey very early on. Ted Danson, it's abrupt.
Yeah.
But yes, we've gotten used to it. Okay, sure.
Are you well, you're against it? You think he should be...
I don't know. I would be weirder now to see him die, like if he's going to do a movie.
Like if
so
he had
I'm looking
Wayne's...
at this one with Margot and going... Yeah. Is he going to die? I haven't seen anything of it.
There's no trailer
minutes.
Yet.
Yeah.
There's
so
no trailer.
Is he going to dye his hair for it? That would be weird.
Like if he came back and he had Wayne's mullet, like fully.
Then that would be
fully, that would be a way for us to transition back to a younger Mike.
Yeah.
But it is that shock when those photos reached our shores here in Australia, possibly months after that happened. That I remember being truly shocked by that. I'm like, who is this man? Usually I look at the face of Mike Myers. I feel pride. I smile.
But this not so much.
This time it was more,
This was, sure. You know what it was? It was your existential crisis where you finally realized that we all age.
Yeah, of course.
And that you will in turn age.
I will age one day.
And especially for Mike, such a baby face.
Oh, baby face.
Oh, come on,
he's got that chubby punim, those cheeks. Oh.
If you can agree on anything, it's the baby face.
He's got 80% dimples on his head. That's what he is. He's mainly dimples.
Yes. He's all cheek. This boy.
Yeah. We would like to ask you, because you mentioned you interviewed Mike
Myers. This is my show, but I'll allow it.
Yeah, thank please. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for this wonderful opportunity.
It's a one-off. I've come out to just do this.
Yep.
One-off.
And we're here in the shag basement, and we love it.
And we love it here. Sure. You really, I know you put a lot of expense just for this one afternoon to turn your basement.
And apologies for the listeners, if anyone with a longer memory, the idea of a shag basement makes you think of Joseph Fritzl.
Yeah.
I don't know how many people remember that. He had a second family living under his house that he created with his daughter.
I mean,
his Fritzls are making me thirsty. That's all we need to know about the Joseph Fritzl story.
He's what we would describe as a love rat, if this was 60 Minutes. Or
crazy
something.
Hair. Crazy mad hair.
Okay, so...
So, yes, what would you like to ask, Alexi?
So, what was that like?
How am I finding my time in Australia?
Yeah, honestly, that's what I'm coming to grips with here.
Mm.
You are one of the only people we've ever met and known and become friends with. Mm-hmm. I will put that on the record. You are my friends.
We have been texting.
I'll say this. You're my best friend.
That
all right?
That counts.
I'll allow that, actually. But we've only met maybe one other person that's ever met Mike Myers.
So, yeah, look. So, I have to put it out. I'm not going to lie. I knew this was going to come at some point.
Yeah.
The idea of the fact that I have crossed paths with Mike more than once. And
oh my gosh.
Look, he is delightful. I think he started off my first impression of Mike the human being.
Oh my gosh. This is an era we've barely discussed.
Was actually watching him on the old Roy and HG show, Club Buggery.
Yeah.
Right.
And he was quite prickly,
mm-hmm.
a little bit difficult. He wanted to say and do things that they didn't want him to say or do. Language-wise and things, and then he got a bit uppity saying, I'm on a show called Club Buggery and being told what I can and can't say, okay.
Well,
and it didn't go down very well.
Yeah.
Mm.
So I wasn't sure what he would be like, but it must have been for The Spy Who Shagged Me. And then, yes, Love Guru was the other one. Oh, no, it was Goldmember. I spoke to him for Goldmember because I remember asking him about Fat Bastard.
Was he there in the studio?
For that one, he was.
Wow.
Yes, and the other one was via satellite. But I think I asked him what it was. One of my big takeaways was what the Fat Bastard suit would smell like at the end of the day.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
To which he said, it smells like bum bum.
Bum bum.
Double bum. It smells like bum bum.
Oh, wow. That's
but,
actually...
Talking to him backstage was the fun part. That was the great part.
Really?
So just, talk us through that. What's he like as a person? Is he
like he
shy,
just because
reserved?
He's very quiet. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't say he was shy, but certainly quiet.
Mm-hmm.
He's one of those people that you have to remember, he's an actor. He's not like a stand-up. He came from Second City, but that doesn't necessarily... That's more of an acting improv.
Mm.
It's not like stand-ups as such. And but he brought it on air. Like he knows what he has to do to sell a movie and do what he has to do.
Yeah.
But because he has that sort of UK heritage with his family...
Yeah.
He's a fan of Monty Python and a lot of other UK performers. And most of the guests I would have on the show, the Americans, have never heard of them.
Yeah.
So I actually enjoyed sitting and talking to him about his background and all these other shows from the UK that we liked watching. And then we had to do a boring thing, plugging a movie for 7 minutes. And then we got back to talking about what we wanted to talk
about. Just in between the ad breaks.
Yeah.
Wow.
It's great. Wonderful. Highly recommend talking to Mike Myers.
Well, we'll try. But the best thing.
I liked him. I really liked him. And I really genuinely felt for him when The Love Guru came out and it just clanged and everyone... Yeah. It's kind of what Adam Sandler's going through at the moment. It's like everyone sort of woke up and just suddenly went, oh, wait, we don't like what you do.
Mm.
And we don't think we ever have, but no one's been game enough to
say
it.
I think it's a real problem that happens to comedic actors where we love them for the thing they do and then when they keep doing it, we go, how dare you keep doing this thing? Why aren't you changing your...
And it was okay with Austin Powers because obviously it was sequels and that's fine.
Yep.
But Love Guru just felt like, well, you're just, it's a different character, but all the same tropes. It's,
exactly. Yeah.
This isn't the cleverness of So I Married an Axe Murderer or even Wayne's World. So
we've sort of talked about it a little bit. I think the reason that it hurt us when that movie clanged is because before it came out, he made a huge deal about the fact that it was a spiritual movie for him about his dad.
That's right. I do remember talking to him about that. It got one of those ones that was a bit...
Have you been part of a conversation with Mike Myers about Spike Myers, his dad?
Yes.
This is something that pervades our podcast because every bit of research we do, it always comes back to Mike's dear old dad.
Yeah,
and his relationship to him. And as part of our auteur theory that Mike Myers is a true cinematic auteur, he is the voice that is the defining voice of all these movies. That is the common link.
Yeah.
Is that they are inspired, a lot of the big hits and a bit of the misses are all inspired by his father what his father bestowed on him.
In So I Married an Axe Murderer,
yeah.
the dad is his dad. He's playing his dad. And that's why he went and re-recorded all his Shrek lines.
Yeah.
Is he went, oh, wait, no, this would be better.
Yeah.
And did the slightly Scottish accent.
Yeah. Scottish-ish.
Scottish. Adjacent.
Can you do Scottish? You did a little bit of it before.
I can do. Yeah, it's one of the. It's one of the few I can do. But I do find I sort of slip into Shrek anyway.
Yeah.
Donkey, what are you doing? Just let it. And then it does. But then it's sort of halfway between the Shrek and then just his that dad character again. You know. Oh. Kid, move. There's a lot of that.
So did he bring up this thing about his dad himself, or was that you?
No, this was one of those. It was in the research
in the
that we had done. So, and I knew he had spoken about it before. Mm. So I thought, because you don't want to bring one of those up, and then it's just like, oh, and he starts crying, and it becomes a bit like, how do we get out of this? So the movie, and then he starts crying even more.
Yeah.
Oh god, I don't want to talk about the movie.
I think
he got Justin Timberlake to be in it. That was good.
Because that's the thing. He went so hard in the promo on the fact that it's a spiritual film.
Yep.
It's about his dad, and also he'd studied under Deepak Chopra and all stuff.
He took that character. He did the full kit, makeup, everything, and booked some dates.
Come on.
Yeah, and to pretend to see, could I fool people into pretending to be this character?
No.
And he literally went out and was doing all the lines, just making shit up, and fooled people. People didn't know it was him, and they thought he was an actual.
That's the movie.
Sage.
That's a better movie.
That's
than
the movie.
Yeah,
the movie.
That would have been Borat before Borat.
There
that would have been so fantastic.
Exactly right.
Because I think
not too late.
There is something funny about that character. I know that. Deep down in my bones, I know that it's got something to it. I know that it's got something to it. But I think it is the sincerity that pervades it.
Mm-hmm.
Like it does, it doesn't feel nice.
No.
Whereas I think because he went through such a heartbreak when he lost his dear old dad, Spike Myers, that he when it was being channeled into Austin Powers, that is a character filled with so much love and so yes. much energy that he's created something that's so loving. I think when he's pushing it into the love guru character, Guru Pitka, Maurice that's Pitka.
That's right.
Some people call him the space cowboy.
It is corrupted. It's corrupted.
But it was there with Austin and his dad.
Yeah.
Worked really nicely.
Oh, yeah. But then also he muddied the waters with the love guru by adding the whole hockey element, which is another one of his great passions.
Yeah, he loves.
I know there was too much in that movie,
That just felt shoehorned in. Yeah. Unfortunately,
it's a weird sports movie. Yeah. It should have been about freaking Rudy.
Vern Troyer needed to just. I've met Vern Troyer as well.
Yeah, you would have met a lot of the members of the MCU.
Vern's an angry man.
Really?
Yeah, but we did. We did a sketch with Vern. We didn't have
let the record show. Rover's lowered his hat over his eyes.
He's covering his face.
Look, I want to say it was a different time, but that made no difference.
Rove has turned on a lava lamp to shade the blushing that he's doing right now.
So we were offered the opportunity to talk to Vern. I think he was promoting a chocolate bar or something.
Oh,
so
no.
This wasn't even for one of the movies.
Oh, no.
But it's like, do you want Mini-Me? And we were like, yeah, of course we do. Well, you've got, like, we only have a couple of minutes. He's going to be in one place at one time. Telling people about the chocolates, and then he's leaving.
Believe it or not, ironically, Vern Troyer is short on time.
So we just had, we just shot a bit where we pretended it was backstage at our show, and Pete was putting up a sign.
Oh my gosh, I think I remember this.
You have to be tall to be on Rove Live. And it was a wooden effigy of me looking like one you'd see at a carnival with the little hand sticking out, like a little teapot style with the big speech bubble. You have to be this tall to be on the show. And me saying to him, oh, do you think this is going to be a problem? And he says, no, I shouldn't think so. And then the camera pans and there's Vern Troyer who looks up and goes, ah, shit. And then just walks out. And that's it. That's the bit. That's the bit. And we kept that sign out the front of our offices for like 5 years. Afterwards, which is more time than we ever spent with Vern Troyer.
That's actually.
But on the day, I was like, thank you so much for doing this. Yeah. I know it's kind of demeaning what we're asking you to do. And he's like, he just sighed and just went, I get it.
Yeah.
Yeah. He's a
good sport.
You'd
seen
funny.
The love guru at that point, right? The whole movie is.
He was done with his time with Mike at that point.
Okay.
Did he say that?
Well, no. Well, it was post Love Guru. I certainly know that. So I think by that stage. That was kind of the last we'd seen of Mike. I don't think anyone thought he was coming back.
No.
He may have declared, I'm done at that point.
Yeah.
Because
It was after that, there was Inglourious Basterds.
Oh, that's right.
And that didn't really awaken anything else. That was kind of it until he did another Shrek.
Probably another two Shreks, then some Shrek
Do you
TV.
Think, Cam, Alexi, do you think there will be a day where he will dust off the mullet and the trucker cap, and we will see Wayne one more time?
Well, look, he's come back as Wayne for some SNL specials.
Mm-hmm. Correct.
He did Wayne for the 40th, I think.
He did it for the 40th. He did the first time they reappeared together was for the MTV Awards that Mike Myers hosted in 2008 to promote the Love Guru itself.
Oh, that's right. It was a week before the movie came out. And there's so much Love Guru promo throughout the
We had to chunk it down on a Russian stream and we did get a virus. We did get a virus on the computer,
But
watching it on its Russian stream and we couldn't skip it, so we had to watch the full 3-hour presentation of the 2008 MTV Movie Awards.
With all the musical performances, including Chris Brown.
Yeah, Chris Brown and Mike Myers really dancing it up together. And they are two fabulous dancers. So we were transported back to 2008 where it was okay to enjoy such a spectacle.
I feel it will happen. I can't help but think that there will be an Alan Partridge style reemergence.
Now, look, I would love that.
If that's the way it would be done.
If they did Wayne and Garth as a, Alan Partridge style show, and it's modern, it's shot in a modern way, it's on Netflix or something.
Yes,
I'm all on board for that. I don't really want to see a movie of it.
You could, you could make it work because what they were when they first started, which was essentially our community television.
Yep.
You could do that now with them doing a YouTube channel or some kind of online thing.
They have an online
channel. Could go back to being, this is them working low budget again. And it would be justified.
You know what? I've just realized why you
God, that would be a good show.
You have a connection to Wayne. Mm. It's because you have your community TV roots as well.
Yeah.
Yes.
I'd love to track down some of those old roads.
So much in common. And the exact same thing of went from community television to like the big network saying, hey, come and do it here.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And similarly, we were at Channel 9 when Channel 9 had money and we still we shot our pilot and we didn't want to spend any, we had no money anyway, but we thought we're not going to waste any money on our pilot by building a set and getting fancy animated graphics and stuff, because we'll worry about that when the show gets, if it gets picked up.
Mm. Yeah.
Let's just put our money into whatever ideas we have being good ideas.
Yeah.
So we just shot it with furniture that we found around the, like from people's offices and stuff like that. I remember my chair was the head of the props department and he was very particular about his chair. No one else was allowed to use his chair. And it was like some badge of honor that he said, you may use my chair.
Wow. Oh, my God.
And the couch we got secondhand.
Do you think that is
somewhere?
Responsible for your success in life was you were bestowed with that chair early on?
The power of the props master. And the only thing we spent money on was the desk. So our studio walls where our set was the studio walls. We just put nice lights onto what is the bare chicken wire and I think...
See, that's badass.
Dangerous
that's
asbestos.
Cool.
That is badass.
Walls. So then when the show got picked up, we all watched the... And same thing, we didn't have a name for the show. We just went, we'll call it the... It was just... We were calling it Late Night Gardening at first. Everyone said, what are you working on? We would say, we're working on a Late Night Gardening show. And then on the call sheet, we just needed something. So it was just called the Rove Pilot.
Yeah.
So then whenever we said, we'll be back after this, we just had lowercase. It was just R-O-V-E. Mm. That was it.
Yeah.
And then it became, well, that looks really cool because it's low status and that kind of seems a bit
edgy.
Cool. Yeah.
It's raw.
It's not flashy, which these shows usually are. So then when we got picked up, we're like, we kind of like the look to the point where the studio was so big that, so we shot a pilot in a small studio. When we got to the big studio to make the series, we cut it off because it was way too big for what we wanted. Yeah. We wanted to make it feel small and pokey. We built a fake wall to look like the real wall that was behind us. So there was one shot. So every time you would see me, the shot behind me was a fake wall that we built to look like the rest of the studio.
To match the real wall.
And it would lift up at the end of the night for the band to perform in. But otherwise, it was the same studio as Hey Hey It's Saturday, which was enormous.
Yeah.
And the footy show, we didn't need anything that big.
That's great.
So, yes, I can feel Wayne... The spirit of Wayne when we were going in and they were like, well, here's what we want to do. And we're like, well, don't you change anything.
Yeah.
It's going to be exactly the same.
But isn't that so funny when you get a fake wall that's been designed to look like the real wall? That's when you're like, I'm in show business now.
So it sounds a bit like a bit of a wanker move when you think about it. But yeah, I liked it. But it was exactly as Garth had said. It's like putting on new underwear. At first it feels restrictive, but very soon it becomes a part of you.
Exactly. Well, see, I think maybe the debate between Wayne and Austin, I feel like I've got Rove in my corner for this one.
Okay.
That's how it feels, because you are Wayne in many ways.
Sure.
If Wayne spelt it with a lowercase w, you know, it'd be more.
But if I had the power to just go out into the street.
Oh, yeah.
And just... I mean, he was doing flash mobs before flash mobs
That's
were
true.
Cool.
That's true.
Right? They just Austin, happened Austin. Around him.
Yeah.
He's got magic. He's got the mojo.
Okay, all right.
And the Piper of Love, I believe, is the actual song.
Yeah, that's a great song.
It's part of just a mix that I have, just a miscellaneous bunch of songs that if I'm out going for a run or something, I just have on because it's nice and uplifting. It's on that playlist.
That's the Edwyn Collins song that he's playing when he is doing that snaps of Liz Hurley in the credits of Austin Powers, International Man of Mystery, released in 1997. directed by Jay Roach. I actually found out.
Jay Roach,
I found out a Mike fact today. I literally uncovered a Mike mystery today.
Okay.
So, whoa. There's a big difference between a Mike fact and a Mike mystery.
Mm. Well, let's say it might have been a mystery, but now it may be a fact.
Okay.
Let's start with a fact bastard, I shall call this segment. So, I discovered a song the other day. It is by a band called The Dream Warriors. They're called the Dream Warriors, and they're a Canadian hip-hop group from the early 90s, and they had a song called My Definition of a Boombastic Jazz Beat, and it is the Soul Bossa Nova by Quincy Jones, all mixed up, and they're rapping over it, and it's very exciting, and I was like, oh my gosh, this just came up in my Spotify Discover feed. The God must be real, and his name is Mike. And I was so fascinated by this, I started researching it, and I found out they were Canadian, like Mike Myers. And they got the beat and the rhythm from the Bossa Nova as we know it, which at the time was the theme song to a Canadian game show called Definition, which is not unlike Jeopardy.
Right.
So that was being used as a theme song, and it was an older, like a long-running game show.
Right.
And I believe this must be where Mike Myers had heard the song, thus creating in his mind the spark that would fuel cinema's history's most psychedelic spy.
I think it's spot on.
And honestly, that just happened by pure chance. Or as I call it, divine intervention.
Well, look, if I can weigh in one more time, I have an Austin Powers song on my playlist.
Yeah.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
My library. I can't think of any Wayne songs that I would have, unfortunately.
No.
I also, when I'm struggling to reverse parallel park and I've made myself too tight, I say, I've pulled an Austin.
Absolutely.
Yeah. I've done an Austin.
That's in the vernacular now.
It's there. It's become a verb almost.
Were you a fan of that film when it came out?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And again, what he did so well, the joke of the cutaway to Rob Lowe and friends no one ever thinks about the minions.
Yeah.
I thought that was genius.
Mm.
Just to take that, you know, just these guys.
Nameless henchmen.
Who just get killed. And then his friends hearing the news at a bar was fantastic.
That is one of my favorite scenes.
That is comedic genius. And one of those ones that you just think, oh, why is that? You know, I love a joke when I see it and go, why did I never think of that?
I know,
that's a
right?
great bit of stand-up or something. Why did I not think of that? I love it so much, it makes me mad. That's always a good gag for me.
Rove
and that was one of
just
those
broke a glass in his hand. He is truly
just
mad.
Crushed it. It's all right. I'll
open the doors to another segment of Fact Bastard. That scene is an Aussie exclusive. That was not in the cinemas in America. That was a deleted scene. And when the movie came to Australia on home video and in the cinemas, the henchman scenes were added. And that's why people in Australia will always think of those scenes in the movie. But it's not. It was in America. People really don't know those exist until they saw it on home video. So it's not part of the conversation of Mike Myers and Austin Powers' legacy in America.
I see.
And it's one of the iconic. It's one of those scenes that shows me that Austin Powers as a movie is a series of amazing sketches.
Yes.
That I feel like if Mike was still on SNL, these are great sketches he could have just had peppered throughout a season.
He could have just been a spy.
A superhero or a spy.
Yeah. Are we jumping sides here?
Look.
what am I hearing?
I love Austin so much.
He actually is a really funny
I
think character.
I love Wayne too. It's a real delicate balance.
Mm.
Because they're two sides of the same coin, you know. Austin is a dork who We're laughing at him for trying to be cool.
Mm.
Sorry, Wayne.
Yeah.
Austin is cool.
He is cool.
He just like walks down the street. Everyone acknowledges that he's cool. Mm-hmm. I don't know. It's like...
But both characters work so well because they are exactly that, marching to the beat of their own drum.
Mm. Yeah.
Even though what they're doing is weird or awkward or, in Austin's case, completely out of date and inappropriate,
yeah.
The fact that they have all the confidence in the world is what makes them so likable.
Yeah. Yeah.
And Austin has a lot of unlikable traits. And Wayne does, I guess, to an extent too. Like, he can be a bit childish and selfish.
Mm.
And pouty when he wants to be.
Mm-hmm.
They're just, both of them are so likable. You know, Austin's an easy one because on paper you go, well, yeah, he's sexist, misogynist. And,
yeah.
But,
and you go, Wayne's petty as well.
Yeah.
I would actually even go, I think Wayne is more sexist than Austin Powers.
Explain yourself.
Okay, here is my argument. I would say Wayne, he objectifies Cassandra more than Austin objectifies any women in the films and greater readings
Heather,
of Austin
Heather Locklear
Powers.
gets a mention as well.
Yeah, come on, that is, there's no way.
Well,
you can
I would
back
say
that up.
Because he Austin will accept, he accepts the power of women and the response, the them as he has respect for them.
Okay,
you know, right. His boss basically is Liz Hurley in the first film.
Mm-hmm.
And he does ask her permission, shall we shag now or shag later? And she says, if you were even the last man on earth, I would not even shag you for 1 second, Austin. And he says, okay, I will try hard, but still I will respect your boundaries. Not in so many words, but I think he generally has he does show more respect for women because I think Wayne believes that Cassandra is his.
No.
She will be mine.
Yes.
Oh, yes. She will be mine.
She will be mine, but he's also a young
Austin's
man.
Austin's like,
we have to remember
she
he's
will
17
be,
or
I
something.
Would love to have the opportunity to shag her, but she is her own woman, baby, and I will respect that.
I think we also need to remember that Wayne begins as Cassandra's fan.
Mm.
And throughout the film, uh-huh. He is championing her career. He wants her to succeed. He doesn't try to be a part of her creative life. He just wants her to be the Cassandra that she is with the band Crucial Taunt. Great band. And he
Ming T,
you know,
better
band. Her story, and he is just the fan on the sidelines. So,
okay. So where at this point, gentlemen, let's flip it. Where do you think that your characters let you down?
Oh, boy.
Where do you think Mike has put the chinks in the armor for Austin and Wayne? Because we've proven, sure, they have negative traits.
Yeah.
They are fallible, but there's something about them that makes that redeeming, and that's okay.
Okay.
So you can't just go, well, Austin is a bit of a sexist pig,
yeah.
Because part of it is what makes him adorable.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think as well, I think the vulnerability that he offers to both of these characters is part of the success as from turning them from would-be sketch characters to true cinematic characters.
Now, may I throw a spanner in the works?
You may.
Is there something an argument that can be made about the impact on popular culture that both these characters have made and the footprint that Austin has left behind, which is a huge footprint, is not necessarily a good one?
No.
Like, I don't need people to try to do another impression. I don't
I think
I didn't like people doing it at the time.
No.
Let alone now.
It's Borat syndrome.
I nearly sure.
That
too.
I think that is true. I remember one of my greatest sad memories in my life I went to the premiere, the press screening of the David Brent movie just last year.
Mm-hmm.
And Life on the Road, the David Brent life story. As told to you by Ricky Gervais in mockumentary format.
Okay.
Many years
long
after.
Long title. Yeah.
Yes, it was a that wonderful
was part of
thing.
Its downfall. Yeah.
Yeah, that's why people didn't get on board.
One ticket for don't worry.
Let's go see Minions.
And me and my friend went, and in the audience we saw a man dressed up as Austin Powers in the full regalia, the official regalia of Austin Powers, velvet crush suits.
Yep. The official uniform
really
of the Czech Republic.
Really cravat. Necklace with one male symbol on it and pair of Italian boots.
Buongiorno, boys.
Yes. And so me and my friend were like, oh, my God, that guy has to be the MC for tonight. And this is like the big joke that because, you know, David Brent would do the bad Borat and Austin Powers impressions and stuff like that. This is part of the meta joke. Wow. The guy was just watching the movie. The MCs were just some Nova guys that came up and truly bombed and was really upsetting. And the mystery of just this guy dressed up as Austin Powers there has been stuck with me forever.
Maybe didn't get the reference.
This was maybe the week we started doing this podcast as well. And I was like, what am I doing? Am I unleashing something bad on the world again?
I remember being at the Universal Studios of Hollywood, where they have a lot of characters walking around.
Yeah.
And there was, the thing about Universal Studios is it's not Disneyland. They don't have a lot of characters that require you to put on an enormous fiberglass head.
Yeah.
So a lot of it is like Marilyn Monroe. They will have a Marilyn Monroe impersonator.
One of the great movie characters of all time.
And I believe it was at Movie World as well. I've seen one of these.
You may have seen him, and that may have been friend of the show, Dave Eastgate.
He actually played him. And it's just, I feel for them. I feel for what they have to do because they can't, like if you I have performed with the person who was inside, with Humphrey Bear, the actual Humphrey Bear.
Oh, wow.
Beloved children's character for those who may be listening in other parts of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Outside of the micro Czech Republic on the illegal stream.
Yes. He's a giant brown bear in a delightful bowtie hat, tie, and waistcoat combination.
With famously performs with his penis out.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Does little balloon tricks. He makes a carousel. It's eye-wateringly, the hamburger, but incredible. All that stuff. So anyway, I have seen the Humphrey performer in rehearsals performing all the Humphrey moves and without the suit on. It looks bizarre.
Oh no.
But once the suit goes on, everything's fine. Oh, there's a lot of mouthing words that he's imagining in his head and very big gestures. Mm. Like you have some kind of mental deficiency. But and then when the suit goes on, you'll be like, so James, and he'd be like, he will not say a word.
Oh, whoa.
And even if we were talking like, so you catch
his method?
Are you catching a flight out? Is your flight out this afternoon or are you gonna be staying till tomorrow? He will just shake his head and then do airplane, like wide arms out, airplane. Oh, no. And then do an over-the-hill thing. You're going,
in costume.
Oh, it's almost you need him to be doing a sounds like
that
thing.
Is very Stanis Vlaskian, if I do say.
Mm. You may.
Yeah, and I
But
wish
there's
I
something about I'm an Austin Powers impersonator.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah,
I think it's glasses and sometimes teeth, sometimes not, because they're like, "Hey, your teeth are pretty bad as it is."
We did receive
you can't hide, and the character, or I should say, bad impressions of that character.
I think
have been
have
overdone
tainted.
To the point where I feel it affects people's opinions now
of Austin.
I would have to sadly agree to this.
I think
it has tainted the legacy of one of cinema's greatest spies of all time.
I think the biggest chink in the armor for Wayne for me has been seeing Mike revive the character with Dana for the SNL and the MTV thing.
Really?
Yeah. It just doesn't...
Oh, no.
I don't know. It never grabs me the way that the old sketches used to or the movie did. There's something... I think it's because they're still playing 16-year-old versions of the characters.
Yes.
They should be playing them at this age now in the way that Alan Partridge is aged.
They're hinting that they've got kids. Yeah. Maybe they break character slightly or break the Garth persona and they go into the modern Garth persona. It's like, oh, yes, my kids, they finally got pubes.
That could work, though. You're right.
Work. Yeah.
Well, yeah, that's true because part of the success was, they were young boys and therefore they were referencing the touchstones of that era.
Mm. Yeah.
But to do that now where they're sort of trapped in some time warp where they're still teenagers and they wouldn't be talking about Heather Locklear, let's say.
No.
They'd pick someone else now, like, I don't know.
Lena Dunham.
Yeah. Of course Lena Dunham.
Yeah, and they'd
that
be
was exactly
referencing,
where my brain was clutching for.
I guess they'd be referencing, like, hip-hop and stuff now. And I don't know. I'd like to see an aged version of that.
That's where it would seem weird, where you're like, well, you're here now, but your characters are still trapped back then.
Yeah.
I think what it would be more interesting is if they are like they have aged and their tastes have aged with them. So they're talking about Weezer, the bands that they were kind of around when they were doing these characters, but they have also aged and continue to do while progress through their careers as well, but also tend to do similar things that they did at the time, like Weezer or Wilco.
So they're kind of like dads who are really into alternative rock.
Exactly. Pearl which Jam
is,
dads.
They're my dad, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Which is great. That's I'd like that. That's a fun character trope. Guys talking about Pearl Jam and Nirvana and stuff.
That would the idea that they are like one of my favorite things in the world is seeing old rockers.
Ah.
Something about someone who picks up a guitar, and I'm not even suggesting you have to have been successful and made it in the business.
Yeah.
But you can turn up to usually a wedding or some kind of public function like that. Where there's just a bunch of grey-haired blokes doing cover songs of songs that you haven't really heard of, but everyone in the crowd over the age of 50 seems to be really digging.
I love it.
And I love it. they cannot let it go.
Yeah.
And that's, you could bring Wayne and Garth back like that.
They're I would love that.
Yeah, they could have actual jobs now and would probably have to.
Yeah.
But still can't let go of behaving the way they do and referencing these old pop culture references.
I love a dad band. I was just in Byron Bay and every band I saw was old guys with long hair.
So good.
And they'd be like, this next one's by the Little River Band. And everyone, all the other people of their age go, yeah. And I'm like, who the fuck are we talking about? What is this? And then it's awesome. Yeah, and I'm like loving it as well. I love it.
My music teacher at school, when we all found out, like in year 11 or 12, that he had a band on the side that he was working on weekends.
Yeah.
Oh, we all wanted to go see.
Oh, God, of course.
So bad. But everywhere was licensed and we couldn't get in. But, geez, we would find out, like, where it was and hear about it and try to send someone who had an older sibling to go and check it out who would go, why the fuck am I going to go see this old man's band? What are they playing? Oh, someone else's songs that you don't know.
Yeah.
Go on, you'd love it.
There'll be eight people in the pub that you don't know also.
So, gentlemen, it seems now that let's look at where our characters sit outside of their own world. So we did touch upon the impressions a little bit. But let's be honest, if we had to gauge a top, I won't even say 10, just to allow a bit of room for everybody, of most popular characters of all time.
Yeah.
Wow.
Cinematic, probably.
Yeah.
Just to narrow it down a bit.
All right.
Where do we think we sit here?
Okay. So number one, obviously.
And I want you to think objectively.
Mm.
You are not you.
No.
You are not the experts of Mike Myers. Mm-hmm.
We are just
fans of pop culture. Guys.
Fans of comedy characters.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Number one, probably The Little Tramp.
Yes. It's one of the most enduring popular characters of all time, Little Tramp.
Yeah.
Number two, probably Deadpool.
Yeah, Deadpool.
He's one of the longest and most enduring characters in popular culture. I mean, the guy's fucking cool. He's funny. He's sexy. And he talks about freaking chimichangas all the time, man. Like, that's...
He loves chimichangas.
He has stood the test of time.
He has,
Deadpool.
Guys.
Yeah.
He's ageless.
He's a badass, man. That's what matters.
Number three, probably Dirty Grandpa. The Robert De Niro
character
from the Dirty Grandpa franchise.
And of course, number four right after that, it's his most famous rival of all time.
Mm.
Bad Grandpa from the Johnny Knoxville
spin-off movies. Right, sure.
Okay. The Jackass spin-off movies.
Yes.
So that's the top four.
Yeah.
Yep.
Pretty hard to break.
Number five, probably that train pulling into the station from the very first film ever made.
The first horror. Yeah. It was actually the first horror movie. So that is the most iconic
and also
horror.
The first prank movie.
Then I would say the moon that cops the rocket in the eye.
Absolutely.
From A Trip to the Moon, the Melies Brothers movie.
That's it. So, geez, we haven't even found where Austin and Wayne sitting.
So there's only a few left. Probably right after that, I would probably say... God, there's so many to choose from, but I would probably say after that it would be
the lion roaring in the MGM.
Yeah, that is one of the most
stuff.
Iconic
uh-huh.
ones.
That's because funny shit.
That's actually the first Bond villain because you're watching the movie straight away, and you chuck on Dr. No, and this lion roars. And you're like, gosh, I hope James gets rid of this one.
This is how you know you're not lying. My daughter has recently discovered The Wizard of Oz, which is an MGM movie.
Oh,
and the
line
at the start, she said, is that the cowardly one? And I said, no. And she said, is that line in the movie? And I said, I don't think he is. And she went, you could almost see her disappointed there. Because that's a pretty cool line.
Yeah, it's really
cool. That's a pretty cool line.
So what are we up to now? We got up to...
I think we're about eight.
So we have two more spots left.
Two left.
I'm going to say, look, this is really hard for me to say, but I think Austin Powers...
Yeah.
Is...
both
is
the of next. Them.
Austin Powers.
Why who shagged me, Austin?
Yeah, Austin. Mm. We've got Austin Powers and then Tom Cruise, Austin Powers from God.
Well, how soon
from, Austin Pussy. Yep. The movie Austin Pussy.
How soon we forget.
This is really... hard for me to accept, but I'm gracious and I'm going to say I'm not worthy and I guess Austin is a better character than Wayne.
He's in the top 10. It's undeniable.
We just
the worst thing about
we
the
just
top
proved
10.
It. Guys,
God damn it.
That is ironclad. Yeah. That list we just came up with. Yeah. You can ask any Joe walking the street.
Yeah.
That's give the exact the same 10. List they'll have.
And then I would say to him, mate, you need to woken up because honestly, they're all men. Honestly.
Yeah, yeah.
And so...
although the moon is gender fluid.
Yeah, gender neutral.
Luna, actually. Yeah. So it is a woman. Luna, yeah. It may have been played by a man in the movie, but it is a woman.
Yeah.
And Deadpool, and, probably there's a comic book where he
so
actually...
we can see
and the train
defeat.
Is trans.
Yes.
That's
there
funny.
There we go.
Yes.
There we go. So it's have transport. We conceded defeat here, Cam?
I think...
once and for all?
Once and
what
for all.
What do you think at home? Call now.
Yeah.
On Cam's mobile
number. On Rove's number, which I have.
We'll text, it'll be in the show notes.
Yeah, it'll be in the show notes. I think I'm going to have to cede defeat and say, even though he is very beloved to me and I have a lot of personal connection to Wayne,
mm-hmm.
Austin is a more iconic and funny film character. And wow. I'm on the verge of tears. I'm going to step off this spinning bed for a moment.
Yeah.
I am feeling incredibly ill. I've wherever you are right closed. Now, dear listener, hit pause. Wait, before you, oh, they've done it. Oh, we've lost them. How do we get them back?
I think we wait a moment and then eventually.
Okay, wait. Yeah. Okay.
Come back.
Are you back? Are you back?
Yes.
Yeah, okay.
Back
yeah, because they went. Now what?
I think.
So, okay. Before you hit pause the next time,
yeah.
I want you to look around you,
taking
where you were, where you are right now. Now hit pause, count to three, wait, and then come back. Okay, I think they're back.
One, two.
Now, just remember where you are. The moment that Cameron James conceded defeat, that yes, Austin Powers is the better Mike Myers character.
Yeah.
That's where you were.
Cam, I will concede to you.
Oh my God, about to rear end a truck in traffic. Stop! Don't pause podcasts and drive, guys.
Too much fiddling around.
Rove told me to. Don't, that is, blood is not on my hands.
If Rove tell you to jump off a cliff, would you do it?
Maybe.
Would you? Maybe. Would.
I reckon you know, I would actually might. Cliff. I might do that.
If Peter Hellier did, I would.
Yeah, I would.
Don't do it, mate. I would concede to you, Wayne's World, I would say, is a better movie than Austin Powers, though.
Whoa. Okay, this is huge.
Okay, now, wherever you are right now, and maybe it is about to fill out details for someone who just rear-ended in traffic or trying to flee the scene of a hit and run. Just remember where you were.
Okay. Pause the podcast, look around for 3 seconds, and then come back. All
right. So it's now 4 hours later and you're back at home hiding from the cops.
Okay.
Unpause.
All right.
Do you remember where you were?
Wow.
Back when all that happened?
Shit. Yeah.
That was Alexi conceded defeat.
I dropped a bomb.
Wow. That was a real... that really took me by surprise, honestly. I'm not even feigning it. I conceded defeat. I was at my lowest.
You were at your lowest point.
And then you handed me a life raft.
Yeah.
And now here I am floating.
Up in heaven.
And with I feel all, amazing.
But still very badly burned.
Yeah.
Still very badly burned.
Very badly burned.
Ro, before we close out the podcast, there were a couple of things I would be remiss not to ask you.
Mm-hmm.
When you interviewed Mike Myers, yes. I want you to pause your podcast for a moment. And go back to that point in time.
Uh-huh.
Remember, think deeply. Close your eyes if you have to and think about Mike Myers. What did he look like? What was he wearing? Specifically, how long were his sleeves?
Oh, he was in a very standard suit.
Mm-hmm.
It was almost as if it was bought off the rack.
Off the rack.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Okay.
I wouldn't describe it as fitted.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
And I remember being quite astounded by just the hair. The hair, when you really take it in, has no genuine style or substance
no
whatsoever.
No shape.
It's just kind of there.
How would you
and
describe
I say there
the
with
hair?
A shrug. It's just, it's there. It exists on the top of his head.
Because you are a very stylish man, I would say.
It serves no purpose.
And so that means the world to me to hear that. Because I look at Mike Myers and I often look at him with pride.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
I feel pride when I look at him goofing around. But when he's in interviews, he wears a unfitted suit.
Yeah.
And the sleeves on these things go all the way up to his wrist, who has got these little fingers just poking out of him.
And he does look
just
like...
Pull it up.
He looks like a kid in a movie where he's had some wish.
Yes.
And kind of been shrunk. But not quite enough.
Yeah. So like...
it's the opposite of Big.
Like the end of Big.
Can I be shrunk? Yeah. It's a movie Shrunk, directed by Benny Marshall.
Can I just be a little bit smaller?
Yeah, just one size.
Just a little bit. Just a half size.
Honey, I shrunk my arms.
If there was like a sequel to Big that was just called Half. Do you want to be big? No, just half. Just half
if
bigger.
I could just go in a little
half
bit. Bigger. Yeah, that would be great.
Yeah, it looked like he needed alterations.
Mm.
And... It was, as memory serves, it was just like a black suit and like a dark blue shirt.
Mm.
It wasn't, there was nothing bright and
yes, which is bizarre
eye-catching
to me,
about
because
it.
I would say Austin Powers is one of the most stylish characters ever.
Yeah, right.
Second only to the Little Tramp and Deadpool. Those are the two highest. If we were to do a list of 10 most stylish characters,
it would be the same list, guys.
Same list, but just a different order.
Sure.
But I think, but even Austin Powers famously has the longest sleeves of any character in film history.
That's very true.
They go all the way over his hands.
They do.
So the guy has never shown his wrists apart from when he plays Wayne because he wears t-shirts.
Wow. What is he trying to hide? Are you onto something here?
That's the next Mike mystery I plan to unlock. One day it's just going to come to me. What is it? Is he afraid of wearing a watch or showing people his watch, what time it is? He doesn't want people to know what time it is. Is Mike a timekeeper?
Well, guys, as we near the end of our journey, having found the right way and not gone to the Second Presbyterian Church.
Excellent reference.
Where do you think you go from here, guys?
That's a mystery for the ages. Mm. I think one thing we are yet to uncover, at the start of this podcast, Brofe, we had a few questions we needed answered.
Sure.
Why was Mike absent from our screens? Would he ever come back? Another Would one. There be an Austin Powers 4? Mm-hmm. And most famously, is Mike horny?
Mm.
And that's the one question we haven't answered yet.
Mm.
So maybe that's the next step.
And that is a tale for another time.
But speaking of horny, we got to ask you before you go.
Every day. I love to just give it a good rum-tum-tugger.
You just rattle one out.
Yep, exactly. Go Southpaw just to mix it up a bit.
Oh, wow, yeah. The Stranger, you ever try that?
I have now. And I do it with my little, as I mentioned the other night when we were on stage together, underwear wearing Austin Powers.
Yeah, you mentioned you had a figure of Austin Powers, and we actually found video evidence of you and this figure on screen today.
Oh, yes.
We found something, we uncovered something. This was another Mike mystery, perhaps, that we were detectives on. It's a video of you interviewing the artist Beyoncé.
Queen Bey
for her first movie role ever.
Foxy Cleopatra.
Herself on Goldmember. Mm. Austin Powers in Goldmember. Whereas actually, it technically in the movie, Austin Powers never goes in Goldmember, but he does go in Foxy Cleopatra. I mean, that's funny stuff.
Okay.
But you revealed to her, you asked her two questions. Well, it was quite a professional interview. I asked her more than just two questions.
I asked her two questions and said, I am done here. You will amount to nothing. Get out.
But you were asking her questions that we probably would ask her. And when we were watching it, I felt that I was finally seeing the first episode of Mike Check.
Yeah.
This was, I think, in canon, that is the first episode of Mike Check.
Wow.
Was you interviewing Queen Bey, asking her what it was like to kiss Austin Powers.
Of course you do.
So thank you so much for being the first person to bring Mike history into, I guess the world and inspiring us.
Well, it's been my pleasure. And as we talk about merchandise, I'm also reminded, I think this will be a lovely way to wrap things up.
Excellent.
Way back when we started in 1999, my self-titled television program, my desk would have a whole bunch of toys on there. I would rotate different weeks depending on what I got.
Mm-hmm.
And I had what I can only describe as a beanbag Austin Powers. So it was his head, no body. The body was just like a beanbag thing that had a voice mechanism in it.
Oh, yeah.
So when you hit it or threw it and it landed on the ground, there were three delightful catchphrases.
I can't wait to hear what they were.
there was very shagadelic.
Whoa.
There was, do I make you horny, baby?
Of course.
And a third one, which I'll get to in a second. But there was a week where we did a stunt on the show. We thought it was a fun thing where it was a camera trick. Long story short, it looked like we killed some birds. We didn't kill the birds. We made it look like we killed the birds. We were too clever for our own good and we got into a lot of trouble.
Wow.
To the point where we had to do our first ever apology.
Oh, wow.
The week later to say we didn't actually kill birds, and even to the point where, you know, pre-Twitter we had to answer to, but why is it even funny to suggest that killing birds is funny?
It's actually one of the funniest things
you can really
do.
It's really funny.
It's hilarious. Yeah. The way we did it too, genius. Anyway, because it was testing the theory, can you kill two birds with one stone?
Excellent.
So what do? Put two pigeons in a cage, drop a huge slab on them.
Great. That's funny.
Or did we? Anyway, so the following week I had to do issue a public apology.
Mm-hmm.
And to move on, because I didn't really know how to do it back then, I thought, I know what will get me out of here. I'll pick up my little Austin doll and I'll give him a little whack and he will give us a little moment of brevity to move on. So after saying sorry for making it seem like we squash birds, we don't think that's funny. The idea of crushing animals is not funny whatsoever. Let's move on. I hit Austin and we hear, smashing baby! So I think that perfectly sums up my experience today. It was indeed, quote, smashing baby.
Oh,
thank you so much
for having us on your show, Ross.
Thank you, gentlemen, for being here. To all our regular listeners, remember, rate, subscribe on iTunes,
yep,
wherever you get your podcasts.
Russian streams, anywhere.
Exactly. Pandora. Mm. And to you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
All the best for the journey ahead.
Thank you so much. Thanks for having us.
A pleasure.
This was a dream come true for us. You truly made me horny, baby. Rove, we've been honoured to be part of a show that you've been running at the Giant
Dwarf.
We have
been honoured to have you guys.
It's been the most fun we've had in ages, and that's including the honeymoon period that we just got over. it's called The Popular Experiment. It's been going for the last couple of Mondays. We've got the last one, perhaps, in this...
For this season, we would say, yes.
Mm-hmm.
Which is happening, yes, October 30, if you're in Sydney, even if you're not, you know where it is.
Yeah.
The Giant Dwarf Theatre, giantdwarf.com.au if you want to be there. But it's been a whole ton of fun.
Oh, so
audiences
much fun.
Have been incredible.
Yeah.
They get it. We're just fucking around on stage, messing around with all things pop culture.
Mm-hmm.
You guys have been doing a tremendous job of kicking the show off.
Talking about Mike Myers.
And they're into it, right?
Yeah.
Of all the things we do, video game reviews, we do TV reviews, we do movie reviews. We just have stand-ups and guests. But yours is the most obtuse of all the things we do. And for some reason, we'll open with that every week. And the audience is, yes. You made someone watch The Love Guru,
yeah,
thinking that you were going to talk about it the week after.
I plan to do that to the entire world one day when I take over.
I look forward to seeing what you guys
so
have
So if
next.
You're in Sydney, come on down October 30. That'll be a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll hang out with you there, horny babies. Thanks for joining us again. And we'll be talking to you soon.
Mm-hmm.
Trying to find the definitive answer to the question we posed. Is Mike Myers, famous Canadian comedian, horny?
Can't wait to figure that one out. Thanks, Rove.
Thank you, boys.
It's Mike Check. It's Mike Check. The podcast about Mike Myers.
And we're clear.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.